we must finalize our victory.
They're headed for our base!
Which means no time to lose. It's time to transform and roll out!
He's here.
No more good friends will be sacrificed to your insane ambition. The universe cowered once at the name of Megatron, and it shall do so again!
Hello. I'm Megatron. And this is what you have all anxiously been waiting for. Yes.
Welcome to the Beast Unleashed panel. I'm your host, Steve Megatron. Just a brief overview about myself. I've been into Transformers, and specifically Beast Wars, since the show premiered. I've been in various forums, websites, etc. of Transformers over the years. Ran a Beast Wars Transformers website called Predacon Empire for a time. I also run the still ongoing podcast, All Things Transformers, and the podcast network, GeekCastRadio.com. So enough about me. Welcome to the Beast Unleashed. The focus of the panel is to have a retrospective on the series that changed Transformers forever, and in it, we'll discover why it was important for the Transformers franchise rebirth and why it can be 25 years later, as well as the timeline from Beast Wars, maybe G1, G2, onward to now. So without further ado, let's unleash the beast in you. What is Beast Wars? Beast Wars is a Transformers franchise, obviously, that began in 1996. Following the end of Generation 2, it was a massive and great departure from what we'd had before. It was a reinvention of the brand, featuring robots that changed into realistic, organically styled animals instead of their traditional vehicles, which, honestly, I loved it as a kid. Obviously, the cartoon was another visual break, being the first fully CGI Transformers series. Although there have been many that have followed in the time since, it was the first. And say what you will about the graphics and the aesthetics of the day, it was groundbreaking. The graphics we get today, yes, they're more polished and nicer to look at. But even back then, I feel like not much has changed in the aesthetics of how they move, how they transform, and Beast Wars to modern Transformers. I mean, even back then, the Transformers actually transformed way more than they do now in a lot of the modern media. So although fans originally cried a river over Truck Not Monkey, Beast Wars dramatically reinvigorated the brand, whose sales had been just tanking since Generation 2. So speaking of Generation 2, we're going to discuss Transformers in the 90s and, of course, Beast Wars. And Transformers Generation 2 is an early 1990s series that really wasn't all that much of a series because it consisted of only the original Generation 1 cartoon, just rebroadcast, repackaged with a CGI animation laid on top of them. And the most extensive change was the title sequence, which had been altered completely, replaced with CGI, basically a glorified toy commercial. With Prime, Ramjet, and it was only a slight change in content. All the other, instead of the Autobot Decepticon flip, you'd get the cybernetic space cube. And honestly, I saw an episode of it back in the day, and it did not interest me whatsoever, which is funny because I caught it later on the Sci-Fi Channel when they didn't repackage it. Unfortunately, it had become really cheap. And nobody cared about it. It was kind of just this kind of space filler. And honestly, the only thing good that came out of Generation 2 was we got some different paint aesthetics. We got Megatron as a tank for the very first time. We had another Transformers G.I. Joe crossover in that of Generation 2's comic. The G.I. Joe featuring Snake Eyes comics introduced the original Megatron crashing onto Earth, and you had kind of this leftover arc of characters, which it never really quite explains when the timeline kind of plays into that. It kind of corresponds a little bit with some of the Generation 1 Marvel comics, and you get, you know, Megatron coming to the Cobra organization and them rebuilding him a body out of a tank. And then you get the a few of the Autobots that kind of come in, and some of those were Generation 2 characters, some of them not. The aesthetic, however, was a little bit of a departure as far as Generation 1 to Generation 2. Then we get the Generation 2 comic, which honestly I enjoyed for what it was, even though it was a limited 12-issue series. And I felt like if they had gone that direction with an animated series, I feel like they could have had a better chance of reinvigorating Transformers. However, they didn't go that route with the cartoon. It was just they wanted to rehash what they had, which isn't that much different from what they do today. And they branded Generation 2 as "This is not your father's Autobot," with Prime with a bunch of bullet holes and a lot of those aspects attached to him. Now moving into why we needed Beast Wars. And the reason is, as a franchise, it was tired. It had been around since 84, and here we are in the mid-90s, 10 years later, and they were pretty much dead. They were on their way out. There was nothing new coming. It was lacking anything new aside from, you know, just rehashing Generation 1 in various formats, styles, visual cues, and repaints. They didn't seem to find any originality left in the pool, aside from the comics, like I said. We had the Action Masters, which basically killed Generation 1. The Headmasters, the Target Masters, those were some good aspects that they brought into the franchise. However, getting into the non-transformable Transformers, which they did again in Beast Machines, it didn't really help them any. It didn't build their franchise to anything bigger, to new, to anything that would draw kids back to it. Most of the kids that grew up with the original Transformers kind of were out of it at that point. And Beast Wars, honestly, was the first reinvention that kind of gave it new life. So Beast Wars and Generation 1, although at first the shows seemed to be an entirely separate continuity by the end of the first season's 26 episodes, give or take a few episodes here or there, such as we get the web where Cheetor's knocked out on Tarantulas's web, and you see a little bit of the cyber jets, you see some Transformer buildings, it's on Cybertron, and then you see Tarantulas kind of jump up into it, which again kind of hints at Generation 1. Then you really don't get anything else until the appearance of Starscream in Possession, which was one of my favorite episodes, although it's kind of funny. Primal gets the sunglasses in one episode. I love the bloopers that happened in the show, or some of the inconsistencies that happened in it. However, that being said, that's the first appearance you get of Starscream since his ghost in the third season of the original cartoon, when he was blasted by Galvatron and his crew. In that episode of Possession, you get to see Unicron. You get to see, you know, Starscream. You mentioned the Autobots and Decepticons. You mentioned Galvatron. And so that's the first real tie we got to Generation 1. Following that up, we discovered that this planet is not an entirely separate continuity. It is revealed to be prehistoric Earth. The characters have been thrown back in time, which time travel is always one of those things that they can manage to fix things or to rewrite history. And it's very helpful in a lot of franchises. I mean, look at some of the Star Trek films. They use time travel. It usually turns out pretty good. Looking at this, we have time travel, and the end of the second season, we have the Ark finally show up. You get to see the Autobots, the Decepticons lying dormant, Megatron flying over Soundwave's body, seeing Starscream's face, seeing Prime, and then you get to see Megatron do what Megatron, the original, could never do, kill Prime. Which, I mean, he did in the movie if you count it, but Hot Rod kind of did that. Megatron did this on his own, even without his troops in commission. So that being said, we have Ravage, who's reinvigorated and brought back, upgraded as a Predacon. And that, again, is another drawback to Generation 1, which it was nice to see Ravage show up, which it was totally unforeseen. I loved how they used part of Cheetor's transmetal body, and then they had him still transform to a cassette and explain a little bit more of Tarantulas's angle of things. However, with the jump of the agenda and then having the stasis-locked Autobots and Decepticons, Master Blaster took it to another level with Megatron mixing with the original Megatron. And finally, we get the Nemesis two-parter, where the Nemesis showed up. All of this adding to the rich history that is Generation 1 and further cementing on the groundwork of G1 without necessarily needing to know it or to enjoy it, but it added to the enjoyment of this series. Adding to that, we have two new factions, technically one. The factions are the Maximals, the Heroic Maximals, and the Evil Predacons. The Predacons are taking place of the Decepticons, the Maximals are taking place of the Autobots. And the Predacons, although they were a subsection of the Decepticons back in G1, they're their own ranking subclass or main class here in Beast Wars. And I love the logos. I love that you have the animalistic one for the Maximals. You have the bug kind of insect look for the Predacons. Because the Predacons are very much reptilian or insect-based. The Maximals are very much animal or bird, some kind of an animal, some type of a mammal to some degree, with the exception of Dinobot. Transmetals kind of throws it in a whole new direction. But the writing and the rich content, the show won so many people over, though. The intriguing stories, the generally high production value, the characterization was epic. I loved the characterization, how they evolved from episode to episode, how you got to learn a little bit more of each character. They weren't necessarily focusing on one person. If you look at all of the modern Transformers, they mostly focus on either some subset of Prime or generally Bumblebee. This gave you a little bit of everybody. Everybody got a little bit of the limelight in there, and it was great. You had great writing. You had great voice acting. It was very complex. The overarching plots that connected themselves, the two-parters were great. The threads that they weaved through the series were among the reasons that this show is cited for this long-term popularity. Love or hate the graphics, the stories and the characterization and the voice acting, you cannot deny, were some of the most epic we've ever had in Transformers. Some of the show's mysteries and machinations still remain topics for fan debates, obviously, like Dinobot regaining his memory, which they would have explained had the episode Dark Glass ever made the time of day. Now, if some of you remember, I was a part of the project that did the Dark Glass project. It never got to the visual format. At the beginning of the show, or this panel, you saw a snippet of the teaser video, which I revoiced recently. A lot of things happened. We have all the vocals. It just never got fully put together. Life hits everyone. So eventually that's going to be an audio drama later this year that I'm putting together. So just stay tuned for that. So anyways, the show's CGI, though somewhat primitive by today's standards, it was revolutionary back then. We'd never really seen anything like that. Yes, Reboot had a little bit of that, but Beast Wars took it to another level. And it's put some later shows to shame. I mean, look at the 2015 Robots in Disguise. Yeah, it's a different aesthetic, but it's still not as great as Beast Wars was. The Power of the Primes, yeah, it had some rich characterizations. It had some rich animation. It had some rich CGI, but it's definitely in a different tier. And I felt like the Beast Wars transformations are a little bit more solid and smooth than some of the modern transformation that happens in Transformers. Prime, I think, is probably the best we've gotten as far as the transformation and the flexibility that we've had in any of the robots in any of the series since Beast Wars. Now, because developing CGI models was, at the time, very expensive and time-consuming, some of the characters that we probably would have liked to have seen that were toys never got to be on the show, and so, therefore, there was a limited number of characters on the screen. And so, although it had less than a lot of the other Transformers series, it was great in that we got to focus on a small subset, a small group. We had literally 10 to 14 characters at any given time that would show up, and you could focus on all of them. You could get into the little intricacies of each character, and it was something that Transformers really didn't get to do. It was mostly about the storyline and how to just push the characters through it instead of the journey that the characters had to go through in that storyline. And so you got a nice little mix of both with Beast Wars. Now, obviously, we had some Stasis Locked Autobots and Decepticons, ARC, and a lot of other things, which led to its growth and continuity. But it also won a Daytime Emmy Award for the Outstanding Achievement in Animation in 1998, which, again, I don't recall any Beast or any Transformers series since ever getting that. I could be wrong, but I don't recall any of that happening. So moving on to the characters, we have the Heroic Maximals. And as you can see from this wonderful graphic, you can see pretty much everybody. And we had some various transformations along the way. And that's something else Beast Wars did really well. Before I get into the characters that are in here, we had them turn into beasts. Then we had a twist on the end of season one where they killed Primal, then revived him. But the way that they brought him back was epic. It wasn't some, oh, I'm such a poor leader. I have to get the Matrix back to Prime. I see his body, blah, blah, blah. No, they were like, we need Primal. We need him now. So they got him. And the transmetal aspect of having them explaining the second moon being destroyed and having one moon, so it obviously is Earth. And you have the transmetals, it flips the dynamic, so it creates a new version of the character, new twists, new turns, new models, new reason to get the toys, instead of saying, okay, here's Prime for Siege, Prime for Earthrise, and then here's Prime for Kingdom. They're all the same toy. Have fun. New packaging, same product. I'm not knocking the creators of the show, I'm knocking Hasbro for this, because I find that it's a little distasteful to sell the same toy multiple times. Beast Wars, on the other hand, I know that it created the conundrum of more money, more models, more time and R&D put in, but I felt like the Transmetals took their original Beast Forms to another level. You got whole new bodies, and they were probably the most show-accurate character versions that we got out of all of it, was once they hit the Transmetal stage, because they didn't have to make them look like realistic beasts. To some degree, they just had to match somewhat of the show aesthetic. And I felt like the original first run of the Beast Wars toys, which I'll get into later, didn't really match the models all that cleanly or clearly. And so when we got to Transmetals, it kind of took that evolution and traversed it to new heights. So we have the Heroic Maximals of Optimus Primal, Rhinox, Dinobot, Cheetor, Rattrap, Tigatron, Airazor, Silverbolt, Depth Charge, Tigerhawk. Transmutate. But anyways, the only name that was really consistent with anything we'd had in the past was Optimus Primal, which was a twist on Optimus Prime, and Silverbolt, which was a Generation 1 aerial bot. Other than that, they were all new characters, fit all new different personas, different levels. So, I mean, you have a variety of character archetypes in there. Now, moving to the evil Predacons, you get Megatron, which gets, you know, taking the namesake of the original Megatron for various reasons, and he gets three different transformations, just like Primal. You get Scorponok, which was an original Transformer name, which they killed him. Terrorsaur, Tarantulas, Waspinator, Black Arachnia, who switched sides, which didn't really happen all that much in the old stuff. Even Dinobot switched sides multiple times in the show. You get Inferno, which was, again, another original Generation 1 name. You get Quickstrike, Rampage, another original Predacon name. Dinobot, Transmetal 2. Then you get the Tripredacus Council of Ramhorn, Seaclamp, and Kakaticon. And then you get Ravage, who's an original Generation Transformer himself, not just a namesake. So I felt like the variation in the characters, the variation in the names, their personalities, the voices. Oh, the voices were epic on all three, like, levels. Like, you get the rich persona, you get a variation in voice, and then you've get this whole, like, overarching difference. I mean, just look at Scott McNeil. Doing four characters in the same show has got to be fun, yet difficult. And some of them in the same episode, specifically Maximal No More. I love the level of quality that went into the show as far as the voice acting and the writing. Now, getting into the toys, as I mentioned before, the season one figures weren't as accurate as I would have liked or as most of us would have liked for the show. Now, a lot of it was paint aesthetic differences. Some of it was just the technology at the time. But these were infinitely better than what we got in Generation 1. They matched more closely because they were animals. You got Cheetor, who, you know, in this image, you've got Cheetor. I had this toy. He wasn't very show accurate, but it was good enough. And same thing with Rhinox, Rattrap, Primal. Now, Primal, surprisingly, they did pretty well with. They've improved it with newer versions, but it's pretty much spot on. The rest of them they've had, Dinobot specifically, has been one of the most redone toys, as well as Cheetor. I feel like they've had a hard time doing them unless they do a masterpiece for some reason. But the toys, again, they were something different. It was a different generation, a different style, and different mechanisms. Megatron's dinosaur head had a squirt gun in it. You had Dinobot's tail, which could spin. You had Rhinox's guns that could spin. Cheetor had his tail was a flip-up gun, and then he had another gun underneath. Rat Trap, he had the one flip. Some of the toys they had, you could flip the tail, and it would transform them or flip their head, such as Terrorsaur, Rat Trap, the original Optimus and Megatron two-pack of the Bat and the Alligator. So those were a lot easier to transform, and yet they still look surprisingly good. And you look at some of the stuff from Kingdom, for example, and I have the new Rat Trap. I have the new Megatron. A lot of these things are more complicated, and yes, they're very show accurate to things. They're very good quality looking. But I've heard issues with some of the quality control with figures such as Cheetor and Black Arachnia. And the Rat Trap figure, I've noticed, is a little rough if you're not quite sure how to get some of the parts apart to transform them. I had a little difficult time transforming them, even with the instructions. And so I kind of missed some of the simpler transformations that we had back then, which is kind of missing in today's Transformers. It's the ease of transformation. And yes, the quality is better on the looks of the figures, but the transformation makes it possible where you can break them if you're not careful. Now, moving on to the next part of the panel, we have the games. Transformers, obviously, the first game that we got was in 97, and it's a third-person shooting game released by Sony PlayStation platform, and it was ported to the PC platform in 98. I had it. I played it on the MSN Gaming Zone. It was a fun deathmatch-style game. Players picked their side and sent their Transformers on missions against both the opposing side and the extra-dimensional Skrix aliens, which are almost kind of like the Vok, but something different. They kind of take over the planet in different ways. It was a terrible game. The voice acting was not there from the original cast. It was very blocky. It kind of put to shame everything that the cartoon had done. And I while I like the game for what it is, it's a terrible game. Then we got the Transformers Beast Wars Transmetals on PlayStation in 99 and 2000 in America. And then they had it on the counterpart Nintendo 64. And this game was just basically just one-to-one Street Fighter style. And you duke it out, and the game was a little bit better aesthetics. It had the actual voice cast. You had some different things like the Golden Megatron. You had Ravage. You had Transmetals that were in the game. So I would have loved to have played that. Never did. But again, that's one of the several games. Then we get Dual Fight Transformers Beast Wars, Beast Warriors Strongest Decisive Battle, which is a Game Boy Color game. Ridiculously long title. I've played it on an emulator a while back. It's kind of fun. It's got kind of short versions of the characters, and you get to kind of duke it out in similar fashion, transform and everything. It's very basic. You get some of the Beast Wars, Beast Wars 2, and Neo characters and kind of duke it out. Now, then you get into some of the modern games where they're not really Beast Wars games. They're kind of game Transformer games with Beast Wars in them. And that would be the fighter game. I can't remember the name of it. And then Earth Wars. And I've got Earth Wars. I've been playing that. And I have some of the Maximals and Predacons. And it's fun, but it's still not a true Beast Wars game. And I feel like we haven't really had a good Transformers game either since the War for Cybertron games and Escalation. So moving into Beast Machines and its different continuities, continuations. The original working title for Beast Wars, or Beast Machines, I should say, is Beast Hunters. And it changed. It was supposed to evolve the Beast Wars franchise, kind of continue it with Megatron and so on. It was going to be another Mainframe Entertainment show. And then ultimately, Mainframe dropped the Predacons. They created the Viacons in place of them. It was the idea of Mainframe's writers, and they decided to kind of change a few things. Bob Skuer had suggestions from Hasbro and Mainframe and Fox Kids, and they kind of created this new amalgamation, and it became later Beast Machines. And they had a lot of continuations of the storyline. They did a little bit of touching on Generation 1, but it was mostly its a continuation of Beast Wars and then kind of its own thing. You got a little bit of the prehistory in there, and then they tied it into BotCon comics and different stories. And, you know, eventually Hasbro did reuse the Beast Hunter's name for the third season of Transformers Prime as a subline. And then, of course, we had Transtech, which, again, it was an original planned series to follow up Beast Machines, which I honestly would have loved to have seen. However, they went back to the original design of robots that turn into vehicles. And yes, there were some variations where they had some beasts in it, but it was still primarily Generation 1 with a little bit of the old style Generation 1 Predacon flair. Not necessarily the same that we got in Beast Wars. And so it would have begun in summer 2001, but instead got replaced by Robots in Disguise while Hasbro created the Unicron trilogy. And, you know, some of these things have kind of sporadically shown back up into other continuities, but they tried to do something new is kind of what I was getting at, is they were trying to reinvent, and then the Hasbro kind of decided, well, we're going to go back to this other pool and play in that direction. And while we would have had some carryovers from Beast Machines, such as Black Arachnia, Cheetor, Night Scream, Silverbolt, and Rat Trap, and Depth Charge, we would have got Generation 1 characters in Optimus Prime, Shockwave, Starscream, and some kind of a Transtech Megatron that turned to a tank, and a character called Immorticon. And they never really had any reason for canceling it, other than Mainframe had a lot of economic issues at the time. But again, it is what it is. Now, Japan took this a step further. They created Beast Wars 2 and Beast Wars Neo. Beast Wars 2 is kind of relative in the Transformers continuity to Beast Wars, and that it didn't really focus on the same continuity. It took place 3 centuries after the end of the Great War, give or take. And it focused on Leo Convoy. They had a movie where they had Optimus Primal kind of get time jumped in. But it takes place theoretically way later in the future of Earth, and civilizations long moved on, and it's been tens of thousands of years, placing it in the distant future to both Beast Wars and the original Transformers. And then we get Neo, and it's got a large composition of new and original molds. You get some that are from the G2 Machine Wars era, which, again, Machine Wars was another toy line that kind of stole from the Beast Wars titling font, but it was very much a G2 repackaging of European Transformer figures, which, again, nothing wrong with those. We had the Machine Wars figures. They were great. I would have rather have seen that than RID at the time, but it is what it is. So Hasbro returned to all of their series. Now, while all of these series had elements of Beast Wars, none of them have truly done what Beast Wars did, with a total return to the original characters, give or take some elements of various series and new characters thrown throughout. Some of these consisted of repaints, redecos, and other reinvented forms of gimmicks. Unicron Trilogy gave us Minicons, Animated included the Allspark. Prime included Dark Energon. Prime Wars included the Core of Combination in the Allspark. Cyberverse brought us the Multiverse. And then through all of those different series, they did have aspects of at least Predacons. Robots in Disguise had it. Armada, Energon, and Cybertron had it. Transformers Animated, we got Black Arachne and Waspinator, as well as like a little tease of the Maximals on a prehistoric Earth. Transformers Prime, we got the Predacons, although a different version. Same thing with Robots in Disguise. Prime Wars, we got Optimus Primal showing up. Cyberverse, Cheetor shows up. Now, that getting all into the encompassing of everything that we have here, we get the reissues, the reboots, and the movies. Now, the movies, I have to say, did a good job in reinventing Transformers for a time. Now, it's been well over 14 years since the first film came out, being that it came out in 2007. We've had six films, six live action ones, each one performing less than the previous one. The final film in the franchise was technically a reboot, but did not make more of a story. And it did fix the visuals. The story was better, but ultimately it was underwhelming as essentially more of the same, robo kibble. People were tired of the Bayverse aesthetic, and I feel like that's going to be a problem if they want to continue with Transformers movies. That being said, Transformers fatigue hits China. This was an article from the web, and I knew that this had been posted at some point. I had to kind of go back and find it, because there was a point in time where The Last Knight kind of put the last nail in the coffin for the franchise, of the live action anyway. It started getting a little weird, started getting a little out there. Now, while it did play with some originality, with some kind of beastly creatures, with dragons and knights and some other smoother aesthetics that they gave some of the characters, but there was a lot of issues with how it was staggering. They'd had a lot of different changes in their films. There was a lot of different things going on at that point, a lot of different movies that were coming out. The Transformers franchise just kind of started to dry up. I stopped caring after the third movie, to be honest, because there really wasn't anything new that they could do. It had a lot of poor word of mouth. It had underperformed kind of everywhere. But honestly, the film wasn't that great. A lot of the dialogue, the storylines, a lot of it had kind of waned since that first film, to be honest. And I feel like Transformers kind of lost its way with the films, and that's why they kind of jumped ship to Bumblebee, and they kind of course corrected a little bit and then put it on hold because they're kind of going back to the drawing board. Now, there have been rumors of a Beast Wars movie. These were graphics that were put out by artists that were commissioned to do things for The Last Knight before the movie. And these were options that they had for Optimus Primal and Cheetor. The Cheetor one, for whatever reason, just recently kind of came out. They had some of the cat images, but the robot, honestly, they look terrible. The Primal looks better by comparison, but they're just terrible. It's more of the same, the robo kibble, hard to tell what they are. When discussing a Beast Wars film, this is not what I'd hope for or expect. I've been reading a lot of the message boards on AllSpark, T-Formers, and the such, reading it on Facebook. People are not enthused by this Cheetor at all. If Hasbro goes this direction, they will totally bludgeon the Beast Wars franchise with this. People will not care. They may care for the first film just to see what happens, but I don't feel like this is going to be something with longevity. It could be gritty and not have this Michael Bay confusing trash heap that we've got in front of us. I'm not knocking the artists at all, because it's still an artistic feat to reimagine them in a different way. And I applaud them for that. But this doesn't even resemble Beast Wars in the slightest. And while I commend it, I think the fans in general are ready for something new. While this looks Bayverse and styled, I think a more subtle approach is required. Quite honestly, after that second Bay film, I watched them on streaming because I wasn't going to pay for another in theater. The first was epic for what it was, and I enjoyed it. But the rest never really evolved. They never really did. I mean, they added elements of things in there. They had a pretender in the second film. But overall, it's not saying that they're bad, but each Transformers fan does and should have an entry point. I'm not a fan of it past the first film and then the Bumblebee movie, which fixed some of it. What I'm getting at here is that Beast Wars has the potential to take the franchise in movie form to another direction. And that direction is this. These are, one of them is fan art, one of them is a Prime One Studios toy. This is what I would expect. We have the CGE to do a real dinosaur, a real ape, and have them look like real animals, have the hair showing on them. They don't have to be smooth and silky. Have them with this aesthetic, have them look good. There's no reason why we can't have them transform and look like the Prime One Studios figures or statues in robot mode, with all of the hair showing and all of that. They've managed to do other things with CGI, looking at The Lion King, looking at a lot of these, you know, The Jungle Book, a lot of these live action Disney movies where they have the animals and they talk and they move and they're completely CGI and they're voiced by an actor. There's no reason why Hasbro couldn't do the same thing with a Beast Wars movie. I think that it would be epic. It would be taking the original designs, updating them, giving them a realistic look, and keeping some of the aesthetics that people expect from them. If they did this, I feel like we would have a major movie hit, major trilogy, maybe even longer, something to reinvigorate the film franchise. I feel like people would go to see this. Because who doesn't want to see, I mean, we watch movies like King Kong vs. Godzilla, which is coming soon. Why wouldn't we watch the same thing? Watch Megatron versus Primal, T-Rex versus giant gorilla. I don't know. Or, in the very least, let's go this route. And then we get into Beast Wars as a new toy line. Now, granted, we had some nice figures that came out during the 10th anniversary of Beast Wars. We had some nice things come out at the Thrilling 30, which was the 20th anniversary of Beast Wars. We're at the 25th anniversary of Beast Wars now. There's so many. We have masterpiece figures of Primal. We have masterpiece figures of Dinobot, Tigatron, Black Arachnia, Cheetor, and we have Megatron. Now, granted, there's some issues with some of the figures, specifically Megatron, I've heard issues with. And they have third-party figures, which, yes, there are knockoffs of some of the Masterpiece. Some of them fix quality control issues that Hasbro had. And some of them, it's just a blatant knockoff. I mean, I'm not saying to support either one. I'm just saying you do what's good for your budget and what you prefer. For myself, I don't transform them. So I have the Optimus Primal Masterpiece. I would love to get the Megatron. And especially the third-party stuff. We have TransArt Studios, which does, they have an Optimus Primal that's transmetal, which is transmetal scale. And he has a multiple face. He has a lot of the aesthetics. He's chiseled out. He looks like the CGI model. We have the same thing for Cheetor, the transmetal version of him. We have one of Ravage. And then you look at this third-party Megatron, this winged, I can't say the name of the studio because I can't put it into words, but they do this winged dragon Transmetal 2 Megatron, which is epic. Yes, there are a few minor flaws with it, but again, for what it is, you're never going to see these Transmetals or these Transmetal 2 from Hasbro and Takara, at least not in the near future. So getting them third party, honestly, is probably the best way you're going to get them. And I find that the level of technology and the 3D printing and a lot of the things that have come a long way since Beast Wars came out 25 years ago, we're getting these show accurate figures that, for all intents and purposes, just put the old stuff to shame. Yes, we have new figures now with Kingdom, and they do put a lot of the old stuff to shame still. These are still the best way to get them and still some of the best aesthetics that we've had on Transformers and a bunch of variations. We're still getting them with the Beast Wars style, and they're completely new figures. Most of them aren't even repaintable, like the Seekers. We've gotten like 10 versions of that, and we've gotten 10 versions of Prime and Ultra Magnus, whatever. But this is something that can stand alone. It does it on its own. It looks great, looks beautiful, follows the CGI model. War for Cybertron trilogy. Now we get into the War for Cybertron trilogy, and while I have my gripes with it, I like what they're doing with it overall. I like the overall premise. They're retelling Generation 1 in a new way to fill in the gaps, to show how they got to the stage they were at the beginning of Generation 1, to show how they got to Earth, to show all these different transformations, all these different journeys that everyone has gone on. While I'm not keen on the speed of the voice acting, I do find some of it a little slow in pace. I'm a little bothered that they don't at least have the ability to have union actors in some of it, namely for certain characters that are coming up in Kingdom, because they're either going to be bad impressions or they're going to be totally renovated, changed, totally different direction, which honestly would probably be better in their sake than trying to do really bad impressions. But that being said, I do enjoy the War for Cybertron trilogy. I like Siege for what it is, because you get to see a little bit of the things going on between the various characters. Now, it becomes more evident the longer you watch Siege and Earthrise that had Alita 1 been given command of the Autobots, a lot of this would have stopped much sooner. They probably would have never made it to Earth, and Megatron would have been out of commission. She's more put together than a lot of the other characters, even more than Prime. Prime and Megatron kind of do this little weird dance through the entire trilogy so far that we've had, out of the first two thirds anyway, and don't really know where they're going. They know that they have a destiny to fulfill. Megatron knows he has to kill Prime or he's going to end up with this Galvatron state. And then Prime, if he kills Megatron, ends up as Nemesis Prime at some point. And so I like the little bit of give and take that they had going on. I like the new twist of the Quintesson. I like the new twist that they put on a lot of the characters, specifically Bumblebee. And although he's not a key focus, he still is kind of one of the main focuses on this. But I really did enjoy the overall. I enjoyed some of the voice acting, specifically some of the ones that are actually at Iacon online are some of my favorites from the series. So I commend FJ for what he's done with the War for Cybertron trilogy. It's definitely more enjoyable than the Power of the Primes, in my opinion. And it kind of adds a new element. It's more so, I think, a studio issue than a writing issue. So we get into Kingdom. Now, if you've got any of the Kingdom figures, they say, "Beastify the battlefield. Worlds collide when the Maximals and Predacons join the fight, coming together with the Autobots and Decepticons in an epic battle that will alter their destiny forever. Primal power floods the battlefield as the fierce beast modes of the Maximals and Predacons are unleashed." I love this poster. I love the golden disc. I love the new renditions of the beasts in it. I cannot wait to see this series. I know that it comes out, I believe, in May of this year. And I cannot wait to see it, just based on the teaser at the end of Dinobot. And we get to see some of just a little bit of the aesthetic that they're going for. And although it's not the same CGI as Beast Wars, I feel like it's going to be a little bit different, but it's going to be very good visually. I just can't wait to see what they do with it. They will have all of the beasts of season one, at least as far as it shows. They haven't shown anything with Pterosaur or Tarantulas or even Inferno. But every Maximal is accounted for, which is a little bit strange to me. So I'm wondering where they're going with that. Kingdom and Beyond. So what, I'll be curious with how many of these characters show up in Kingdom. For instance, like I said, there's some missing. However, in this particular art, we see Polar Claw, which isn't even one of them. And Magnus is dead, and there are other variables at play, such as the toy of Dinobot. He's listed as a Predacon, despite that he may yet be a Maximal. They may go a different direction with him in this and just keep him as Predacon. It's hard to say. The fossilizers are a thing I'm unsure about, but must be either a Black Arachne or Scorponok invention, or just could be something Megatron's devised from the bones and mechanized them, kind of like he did the clones of Dinobot or the transmetal raptors in the fourth episode of season three. And like I've said, my other concern is the voice cast. Again, I've said my piece. The other aspect is it's rumored to come with these characters. I don't know what we're going to see yet. We haven't seen the toys and the new models of Tigatron. We haven't seen the new models of Rhinox or Scorponok yet. We've seen all the other ones. And to be honest, they put their original toys to shame. The Black Arachne and Eraser specifically. Primal looks pretty close. Megatron does put his old toy to shame. Rattrap's kind of there. Fedor, I feel like they never seem to get his toy right, no matter how hard they try. If Eraser and Black Arachne are any consolation, I cannot wait to see the Rhinox, the Tigatron, and the Scorponok. The Dinobot already looks great from what I've seen from the preview images. Can't wait to get my hands on these. 2021, Beast Wars Rebirth. So, as you know, there's a new miniseries featuring the original Season 1 Beast Wars cast, a brand new Beast Wars comic coming from IDW that reimagines Beast Wars from the beginning. And it's quite honestly just epic to think about, because we had a little bit of a short-lived comic under Dreamwave. The two miniseries from IDW called The Gathering and The Ascending, as well as many Universe, 3H Productions, BotCon comics, the Fun Pub comics in the Beast Wars, Beast Machines universe, not to mention various crossovers from the characters in regular IDW continuities, such as Rat Trap, Cheetor, and Primal. I'm very excited for this comic because it gives us a new opportunity to enjoy Beast Wars and to reintroduce it to a new generation. Most of the people that didn't grow up with Beast Wars don't have that love for it that the people that grew up with it have. And then, of course, we have the new toy line. Despite being in the War for Cybertron line, it's Kingdom. And it's essentially Beast Wars. And it, like I said, captures the CGI models almost identically from the original series. Give or take a few little inconsistencies with paint, they're pretty spot on. And the best part about these figures are they're budget priced. They're Kingdom figures that mimic some of the degree of the masterpiece. These figures are getting Beast Wars toys that are made in a modern way and detail to get an almost masterpiece figure. I can't afford the Beast Wars masterpiece figures personally, but I can afford these easily. I do have the Masterpiece Primal, and the differences are slight between him and the Kingdom line, to the point that if I didn't have the Masterpiece, I'd spring at the Kingdom figure in a heartbeat. I'm just impressed with these, but what I'm even more impressed with is their inability to stay on the shelf. Sure, I see Rat Trap if I see any Kingdom figures or the reissued Leader Class Earthrise Optimus Prime, but these are rare to find, and they've only been out for less than a month for the general public. I had to hunt between four Targets to get Megatron, and even the Studio Series Scourge. Yes, I can find Rat Trap everywhere. I have not seen a Black Arachne or a Cheetor or even Primal since I got the Megatron. So continuing on, we have the Masterpiece figures, you know, as well as updated the Transmetal Beasts, like I mentioned, from third-party vendors. It's these toys are epic and truly match the CGI models, the figures. And the funny thing was, is as we discussed Masterpiece figures on All Things Transformers in the Beast Unleashed podcast years ago, we were waiting for good Beast Wars toys that had proper articulation. While we haven't gotten all the Beast Wars characters from Season 1 yet, the ones we do have are, well, a masterpiece to say the least. As for the third-party figures, we have quite a few vendors out there that are just simply killing it with their masterpiece level line. And the details of the Transmetals, something Hasbro, like I said, will probably never get to. And if they do, it may be sporadic at best. But the Primal, Cheetor, Ravage are beautiful works of art, and eventually they'll end up on my shelf. That's not all, though, as we've also seen an optimal Optimus that is proportioned properly and magnificent despite possible paint defects and a mismatched knee version of Transmetal 2 Megatron. Now, the Dragon figure, like I said, is epic. The optimal Optimus figure I've seen that's out there, it finally fixes the shoulder cannons that he has an issue on the original toy, and the sizing of the head, it looks more natural the way that they've beefed him out. Now, we've also had rumors of a Beast Wars live action film, and there's so much speculation going in either direction. I'm not going to add to that, but although it's been swirling for some time, the reality is with the return of Beast Wars in the toy form and the Netflix series, the reintroduction to the fandom of Beast Wars is going to cause this to eventually happen. We've already seen particular test images of Bayverse versions of them, and I think that they would do best to keep them true to the style and design, but give them the updated CGI live action animation. I really do. And I would love to see even more that the original voice actors join and get to be a part of it, even if it's a bit of a pipe dream. What I would love to see even more is a new miniseries featuring the original Season 1 Beast Wars cast. And, you know, despite not having them in Kingdom, we are getting a brand new Transformers cartoon heavily featuring Beast Wars era characters, which in and of itself is a huge win, which if it bodes well and the toys obviously are doing well, we could be looking at the possibility of a revival or continuation by Hasbro with the original voice cast. If nothing else, a separate series. Again, it's a pipe dream for the original cast, but I've truly enjoyed what we've gotten thus far. So either way you look at it, it's renewed interest in this part of the Transformers franchise. And last but not least, it's just created this resurgence for fans to jump on board to this series 25 years later. I mean, they're a staple of my shelf. So do we need more Beast Wars Transformers? I think I'll let him answer that.
Yes. Yes.
Again, thank you to Iacon Online for this wonderful convention. I'm sorry I wasn't able to be here in person, but nonetheless, I'm glad to have been part of this convention. And you can find out more about Beast Wars and Transformers by staying Things Transformers. So until next time, thank you guys for tuning into my panel. I hope that you guys enjoyed it. I hope that you enjoyed the reasons why we need more Beast Wars and why it's important for Transformers revival. And if you have any questions, again, just hit me up on social media. Thanks again, and stay tuned for more from Iacon Online.
Yeah. I wish to speak to my lawyer.